You can't buy a bucket from the Roarman Automotive Group. But if you're looking for a great deal on a newer quality pre-owned vehicle, drive the lane and score one at one of their six locations, right there in Fort Wayne. You'll have Kia, Infiniti, Lexus, Nissan, Subaru, and my favorite, Toyota. There's something for everybody at every budget. The Roarman Automotive Group believes in doing more for their employees and their families, more for the customers, friends, and neighbors. And the Roarman Automotive Group believes in doing more for what makes Fort Wayne a greater community. If you check out one of the six locations in Fort Wayne, just tell them I sent you. You won't be disappointed. Shout out to the Roarman Automotive Group. Thank you for sponsoring this podcast. Before we get into this episode, we got to give one big shout out to AJ's Beef and Burgers and Beer right there on campus. Make sure you go by, get you a burger, get you a beer, watch a game, hang out. Best burger spot on campus. Make sure you check them out if you're ever in town. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Boil Up with Rayfield Davis podcast, brought to you by Crew Life Incorporated, our nonprofit foundation. Tonight, we have a very special guest. It's going to be one of my favorite episodes. Talk to one of my favorite Boilermakers, one of those behind-the-scenes episodes, one of those people that helped make Purdue go, especially at a time where Purdue needed to go. And I know in this position, this had to be tough coming into practice, losing games and dealing with Elliott Bloom in these type of seasons. So, no further ado, Brock Davis, everybody. What's going on, Brock?
The lights just went off in my basement. That was kind of cool, though. That's cool. That's hilarious. They're on a timer. It must be 10 o'clock here in Indiana. But no, man, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been cool to kind of see your podcast, bro. So I'm blessed that you asked me on.
No, I appreciate you coming on, Brock. And for those who don't know, Brock was a manager from 2011 to 2015.
Yes, sir.
Ended up leaving out as one of the head managers, if not the head guy. I would say, I'll give you that, Brock.
I appreciate it. Yep.
Just going back even before that, kind of talk about, like, I know your background a little bit, but where are you from? Kind of what led you to Purdue? What led you even to thinking about becoming a manager? How did it even all come about?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm originally from Warsaw, Indiana. So just about 2.5 hours kind of northeast of West Lafayette. I grew up loving basketball. My dad was a basketball coach. He's been a basketball coach for probably about 35, 40 years now, through the high school ranks, mostly with girls basketball. So I just spent, you know, most of my younger years and all of high school and whatnot, growing up and playing basketball, played through high school with Warsaw and whatnot. I actually played quite a bit until probably junior year when I started playing varsity, and I started to play behind a kid named Nick Moore. So my playing time dwindled down very quickly. but that's all good because it really kind of shaped kind of my trajectory for after high school and whatnot. I can remember going into my sophomore year. I started for most of my teams. I played AAU, that kind of thing. But obviously with Nick, I kind of dwindled to my junior year as far as playing time goes. So going into senior year, Coach Ogle, Doug Ogle from Warsaw, what kind of said, like, Brock, like, you know, great kid, obviously we love you, we want you on the team, but hey, you're not going to see the floor at all. Like, it's Nick's senior year, like, it's not going to happen. Our team runs as Nick runs. So he's like, but I want you to be on the team, and I want you to be a captain, and I want you to kind of try to, you know, lead us essentially from the bench. Like, that's going to be your role. So I was, you know, that's kind of tough pill to swallow, because I've never been told, like, hey, you're not going to play. But it was definitely a role that I appreciated. I mean, you know, being on so many teams, like, those are your best friends. Like, those are the people you hang out with. I can't imagine not going to practice. So it was a quick, you know, hour thought. And it was like, yeah, coach, of course I'm going to stay. He always said I was the only one that could talk Nick down too. So he really wanted me to stay. to cool the Jets if we needed to.
As a kid, obviously, I mean, 16, 17 years old, that's a lot of mental toughness to understand that I'm not going to play, but I still got to go out there and practice. I got to go guard this dude, and I'm not going to play, but I still got to give him my all. I know you were out there with your friends, but what kind of made you want to still do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the love of the game, to be honest. I mean, I still, even though practice, you know, when we do 5-on-5 or whatnot, like coaches trying to get like younger players PT and whatnot, but like just being able to go, and I, to be honest, just didn't know anything else. Like I wanted to get shots up. I wanted to do the, you know what I mean? I still wanted to play. And I mean, practice was my prime time, right? Cause I don't get to play in the game anymore. So it's time to show up and, you know, try to guard Nick every day, do those types of things. So, and I knew it made our team better. And Coach Ogle was amazing at, you know, fostering that and saying like, hey, you matter. Like, you're not going to see the court, but you matter. Like, we need you every day. So he would get us ready to go, and just kind of that passion that I guess he instilled in us, and, you know, to keep going out there and playing. And it's a game I love and a team I love to play for. So.
Oh yeah. And that team was pretty good. I think that team beat me by like 30. So I think Nick had 50.
And then he did something in confidence.
Yeah, Nick came to my Speece Indy Heat team, and then he took my minutes. So it's like we got that in common. Nick sent me to the bench a little bit too. But after you leave, I knew that. I knew the passion you had for the game. Your father, I mean, the great things he's done in basketball. What led you to want to be a part of Purdue basketball? I mean, I got a better question. Did you want to be at Purdue as a manager, or did you want to be a student first? What were you going to Purdue originally for?
Neither, because I didn't even want to go to Purdue.
Wow.
That's what's great about all of it is back to my senior year, Coach Ogle's like, hey, you know, be a part of the team. And one of our assistant coaches, his name's Hal Gunner. He's still there. Just coached, I think, his 50th year. Coach G was there when Rick Fox played for Warsaw. So when Rick Fox played, like, Roy Williams would come.
From Warsaw?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
He thought that was like one of those, you know, I never knew for real. Okay.
Well, he's from the Bahamas. Oh, shoot, man, my computer. There we go. He's from the Bahamas originally.
Right.
But there's a small college in Winona Lake called Grace College, and their coach, Jim Kessler, like the NAI, like leading wins of all time, he did a missions trip, met Rick Fox, was like, hey, we got to get you back to the States so you can play some basketball, because he was like playing, you know, on the varsity team and middle school and whatnot. So he came back to Warsaw. I think he played one, maybe 2 years at Warsaw. But then his senior year, when he was like, you know, supposed to be Mr. Basketball and all this, he didn't even get a play because IHSAA counted one of his Bahama seasons as a varsity year. So he didn't even touch the court his senior year.
Dang.
So, yeah. So he even made the Indiana All-Stars. Coach G always says he's the only, you know, Indiana high school player to ever not play a game but still make the All-Star team.
Yeah, That's tough.
So going into my senior year, Coach G and Coach Ogle, they knew Coach Williams. And I grew up a North Carolina fan. My dad was a Dean Smith guy. Like, we were Tar Heel blue, like, in and through. So my original plan was to go to pharmacy school down at North Carolina. And Coach Ogle and Coach G were like, hey, you know, we know Coach G especially. Like, I know Roy Williams. Like, you know, we might be able to put in a word to see, like, what the manager process is. So that was kind of like, you know, I don't know, let's say early, mid-fall of my senior year. Well, the season's about to start or whatever, and, you know, applications senior year are coming through. My parents are like, hey, you should look at in-state schools too. What about Purdue? You know what I mean? Like, they got a pharmacy school. And I'm like, man, I don't go to Purdue. If anything, I'm going to go to IU. But they were like, you know, go check out the school at least. So I remember it was like days before our first game, Coach Painter's like, hey, Coach Ogle was like, hey, I know Coach Painter. I took Coach Painter and the Purdue staff out to see John Wooden a couple years ago. So I can, like, you know, maybe say something to Coach Payne and see, like, what the process is. So I was like, man, Coach, like, okay, like, I'll look at Purdue. We'll see what it's like. I did a college visit, like, in January. I applied and I got in. And then I did a college visit with my, like, best friend in January of that year. And I liked Purdue's campus. I was like, yeah, like, you know, let's do this. Like, I think this would be cool. So then Coach Ogle, like, reached out, you know, to Paint and then to Bloom. And then Bloom was like, hey, you know, this is our process. When you come on campus, like, put in an application. Let's get you in for an interview. And we'll just see where it goes from there.
So there's an actual interview process to become a manager?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah.
What's that like?
Oh yeah. So
I'm so intrigued.
That's a good thing. A lot of people don't know this. So, oh yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, any student now, I don't know if it's changed in the past 8 years, but any student can really go in and apply. I'm sure Bloom gets like dozens of applications. And then they do go through an interview process. So I would say, I think
hand chosen, like a good job.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. And I think Bloom does a pretty good job, I would imagine, screening people. Because when it comes to being a manager, you got to think about it. Like, you want someone, I mean, I'm not Bloom's position, but if I were in his position, I would imagine you want someone with some basketball background, right? Right. Somebody who has no idea what's going on, because you can imagine what that would be like at practice.
Exactly.
You want someone who's probably at least played a little bit in high school. Something so they can pass, dribble, shoot, do those, you know, to get the drills going. But you also don't want someone, I always say, you don't want someone that's like just like a crazy fan, right? Who's going to fanboy the whole time in practice. Because there was another manager, well, obviously we had quite a few in my class, but I think of Joe Baker, like his family was like Purdue through and through. Like he knew everyone from 2000 till when we got there. I couldn't even name three players off the team the year before when I got there. And it's crazy because if you know me now and my, you know, my work colleagues, my friends, my family, like it's black and gold everywhere.
Right.
Like half my closet is just Purdue. And like, yeah, they give me a hard time because I am such a Boilermaker.
So like, is it so Bloom, like, so like you put in your application, is it like what you just come in Bloom office and Bloom grills you, or like, is that how it is? Or like, is it like you got to sit in front of Bloom and Nick T, or like how it go?
So it was just Elliot, at least for my interview. I mean, you put in an application, so he already knows quite a bit about you. And it sounds like Coach Ogle probably put in a good word, or at least talked to Elliot a little bit. So he didn't really ask any like tough questions, I would say. He kind of asked what my major was. You know, this is kind of the time commitment. Do you think you could commit to this if you were chosen? That kind of thing. So.
No, I will say Bloom does a good job at that. I never knew that that was a responsibility that Bloom had.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Bloom, because we have really good managers. And I never, like, really thought, like, even wondered the process. Because you're right. Like, you had to get guys that really didn't really – you had to get attitudes that meshed with the team. Like, and guys that actually could get out there and play, you had to, like, now I'm looking back on it, you had to get some taller guys sometimes. So it's one of those things where you got to put some thought into that. That's super cool. What was it like coming in, like, not because now I'm fanboying out about the managers. What was it like coming in, you're a manager now, your freshman manager is Robbie Hummel's fifth-year senior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the campus like? What was Purdue basketball like at the time? How was that?
Well, I mean, it was really cool because and we had just come off, you know, some really good years. Etwan, Jawan just left. Obviously, I didn't know any of them. I knew Etwan and Jawan, but that was probably about it. But just to meet all the guys, and even so my year, we might have been one of the last years, the freshman group of managers, it was all voluntary. So, like, we were never put on a schedule like all the other managers were, as far as, like, which days we had to work and which practices we came to. Bloom had kind of told us freshman year, you know, you come in when you want, you put in the time, it'll pay out in the end, but you're not going to be like required to do anything. It's kind of up to you to work with John and Sam were the head managers at the time, but to work with John and Sam as far as when your class works and when you want to come in. We didn't even work all the games my freshman year. So like I worked half the games my freshman year. So it was kind of weird because you'd spend half the games on the floor and then half the games like up in the paint crew. That was kind of cool though, because you actually got to experience the paint crew at least, you know, for half of my freshman year.
What's a better experience, on the floor or in the paint crew?
On the floor. I mean, I love the paint crew. The paint crew is the best, you know, section in the nation. But there's nothing like standing on Mackey during a game. So
I like standing on the floor. I mean, as a manager on the floor, you're supposed to be paying attention to what's going on. But when the roof
falls
off the Mackey, what's that like? What's that feeling like?
I mean, it's really cool, especially early on. It's always funny because Bloom would always say, like, and he's right, like, our job, like, is to not be seen and not be heard, right? Do your job. And if you do it right, things are going to go smoothly. But I mean, when someone, you know, hits a shot or, you know, throws something down, you're going to fist pump, you're going to jump. You can't really do that. I mean, behind the bench is okay, cause you guys do it too. So you block us anyway, so it don't matter. You're just watching to make sure there's not a timeout, I guess, after a big play, but, on the floor. And I mean, even behind the basket, it's just a lot of fun to be down there.
So why would someone, even cause even before Purdue, you were looking at the process of North Carolina. Why would someone become a manager? What's the benefits? What's something that, like you said, you love the game. So someone that loves the game, but maybe they're not the player on the floor, but they love the game. What's some of the benefits of being a Division I college manager at a high level program?
Oh man, I mean they're countless. So like for me, obviously, you know, just being around the team, and I mean, I think you would say the same thing. I was blessed to be at Purdue just because, I mean, the culture. From top, you know, to bottom with the managers, it's consistent throughout. Like it doesn't change. I was always nervous, like going in freshman year, like how that would feel, right? Like do the players treat you with respect? Like, are the coaches, you know, nice to you? Are you a manager? Like they don't really care. But there are even times throughout my freshman year and going into my sophomore year too, that, I could tell like, this wasn't that, right? This was a family atmosphere. Coach Payne sets that tone from the top, and that boiled down to our manager group, you know, Coach Owens, like they all just, Coach Shrews was there. Like, you know, they knew who you were. They knew your name. Like you weren't just like, it might've taken them a month or so when we first got started, but that's all right. We won't hold that against them. So, but you know what I mean? Like it was just, I never sensed that really from anyone.
Right.
But I mean, if we're like talking perks and stuff too, I mean, you obviously get to go to all the practices. You get to go to the games as managers, you get gear as well. Not as much gear as the players, but you know, Bloom fits you out with a couple shorts, couple shirts, you get team shoes. After your freshman year, you get your own locker in the back. I'm sure they've renovated the locker room by now, but we had a couple, I mean, we had a lot, our own locker room. So, and, I think the other cool thing, this is what I would say most of my friends were jealous of, is like, you know, you guys watch film for, let's say, 20, 40 minutes before we actually hit the court for practice. So, like, you get, like, 20 to 40 minutes to play 3-on-3 in Mackey, like, every day. You know what I mean? Like, people, like, you got to go to Colrec and wait for a hoop. Like, no, like, I'm going to go on the south end of Mackey and we're going to, you know, check it up. So, just stuff like that. You know what I mean? It was just, like, really cool to be a part of. And you think of, like, the team dinners and whatnot that, managers, especially as you get older, you kind of get to be more and more involved with that type of thing. So,
because as you get older, like you said, as you get older, you start to spend a little bit more time, a little less time rebounding, a little more time in the offices. So,
sure.
I'm sure being in the office, you learn some things. What was it like being around Coach Payne? I mean, your senior year. I mean, we're winning at this point. I mean, you're obviously a leader of the manager group. You're a leader of the team. I mean, I'm a junior. I'm coming to you for stuff. Just like, what's that like? But what is it also like learning from Coach Payne?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Payne is awesome. I would always say like he is. I mean, by I haven't been around as many coaches as you have probably, but he's probably one of the best basketball minds I've ever heard speak. Like just flat out. What goes through his head is unbelievable. And he's always on that next step or like, you know, this is where this is going to go kind of thing. Yeah. So you almost get caught like in a trance, like listening to him, like do huddles when we're supposed to like be setting up the next drill. Cause you're just listening to Coach Payne, like talk about like basketball philosophy or something. But I mean, even working up in the office too, like a lot of what we did, I would say in the office space, we might help, you know, Taruso with some film. And it was crazy because I would say, and I don't know how this was when I left, but up until my senior year, like there weren't too many people that like that was assigned to. That was kind of like, hey, let's see if you're dedicated. Let's see if you'll come in and do some film for Nick. So then as the years go on in your senior year, your junior year comes up, they'd be like, oh yeah, like Leah put in a ton of time with the film. Or I know Brock and Joe like stayed and helped with summer camp. So like what you put into it is what you'll get out of it in the end. So when, you know, we have to pick like who gets to go to Maui or who gets to go to the NCAA tournament. Like Leah Steele was one of, you know, in my class, she put in a ton of time. So she got to make a lot of those trips and rightfully so, because she did a lot of work So it was just stuff like that. But it was cool to be around the coaches because you see a different side, like up in the office, than you might down on the court. Yeah, but just goofing around and, you know, making fun of each other. Coach Owens, Coach B, just like going at each other. It was always fun to kind of be up there and just be a part of it.
Ah, Coach O and Coach B, they used to talk about who were winning a wrestling match. That's funny. Bro, I got to ask you a question. One thing that, because you said something about were your friends or something that your friends were jealous of about, you know, being a manager. Something I was jealous of was when you would go on the road and you're not in the game. Like, we get our phones taken. Like, we can't even make text. But, like, we see you guys getting dressed. You guys are dressed nice. You get back to the hotel after dinner. You guys are making plans. You guys are about to go out.
Yep.
What's the best on the road place to go, in your opinion? Where do you like to go tomorrow?
That's a good question. So my junior year, I made 2 road trips. You kind of get sprinkled in on road trips junior year. So I went to, I think, 2 my junior year. I went to Vanderbilt. Down, but we didn't really go out that night before. I was kind of upset about that. So I have a story. I was hoping you'd ask a question like this. So my other junior trip was Iowa that year. So it was me, and there was like a last minute switch, and it was just me and Joe Baker. So me, like, 2 junior managers, no senior manager. I think it was like a test, like, let's see if Brock and Joe can handle this before they become seniors. Right. So this was, my junior year, we played out in Iowa, and it was like frozen. Like, it was like negative 10, negative 15 degrees. So Joe and I, you know, we do the road trip, you know, everything's going well, we think, whatever. Well, the charter bus, it was cold, right? And we take, I don't know, like, just maybe half a dozen to 10 like Gatorade cases. And we were talking, like, as we're unloading stuff at the hotel, like, hey, should we leave these Gatorades in here? Should we take them in? We were like, nah, let's leave them in here. Like, it'll be all right. It's not going to get that cold. So we do shoot around, come back. And then that was one of the nights where we did get to go out. And it was a fun time. I mean, it was Joe, me, and Parson, who was our student trainer at the time. So we went out and hit a couple places up. Anthony Spantana used to be a basketball manager. I think he was there probably your freshman year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So Anthony was a hotel manager.
I remember that.
Yes. So it was crazy because I think it might have been the hotel we stayed at.
Yep.
But we went out and Anthony was like, hey, when you guys are done, like, call me, like, I'll give you a ride back from the bars. Like, you know, I'll come get you. And we called him. It wasn't even that late. I'm going to say 1 o'clock, 1:30. And like, Anthony has like ghosted us. Like, hey man, snow's too bad. Can't come out. And we're like, what? So we had to get this like 25 minute Uber, like, back to our hotel. So the Gatorades are still underneath the bus. So we get to the game the next day. We're about to leave the hotel and we're like loading your guys' bags into the bus. And I'm like, hey, Joe, I was like, these Gatorades are frozen. Like, all of them, they're all frozen. And he was like, no, are you serious? I was like, man, what are we going to do? I was like, we can't give these out after the game. Like, they're going to be ice cold. So we're like sitting frozen outside the bus, loading bags, like trying to think, like, what are we going to tell Bloom? What are we going to do? I don't know. Bloom probably doesn't know the story, but I was just like, I don't know what we're going to do. So we're like, hey, let's throw them in the showers. Like, we'll turn on the showers when we get there. We'll try to, like, to thaw them. My dad actually drove out to Iowa for the game. So I was like, hey, Dad, you might have to go to Walmart. Like, hey, we're going to switch you out some Gatorades. But then the Iowa managers hooked us up. Like, when we got there, they didn't even have Gatorade or whatever brand. I think it was Gatorade. They gave us, like, whatever the Iowa brand was, like Powerade or something. I don't know if anyone really noticed after the game when we were passing out food and passing out. We were passing out, like, the Iowa team's, like, Gatorades, and it wasn't ours. And, man, that was probably one of my favorite road trips. Just not in the moment, but when we got back, we're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we did that.
That is hilarious, man. That is funny because we definitely lost, and I don't know. I don't know if we lost. I just know we lost because I don't think we ever won to Iowa. But that is hilarious. That's funny.
We lost. It was a very tense, like, I'm going to say half hour from when the time we lost to getting our food, to making sure everyone had their drinks. But that was a really cool road trip. My senior year, I mean, I went to Maui, which, I mean, you can't beat that. I went to I'm trying to think where else. I went to Wisconsin, the Kohl Center. That was a lot of fun. Just like really cool, like Penn State, like cool places that you would probably never ever go unless you were a part of this. So it was cool to see a lot of the other Big Ten campuses for sure. But that Iowa trip, I mean, that was pretty memorable for pretty much, you know, everything that happened. So
What would you say? What would you say the toughest arena to go in and play at? Not even that, like you said, maybe not have been in all the arenas, but even just being a part of the Big Ten. Because I would say, as a manager, you know what's going on. I mean, you watch enough film, you see enough games, you've been inside enough arenas. You kind of, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, I mean, so I actually, to be honest, I know this one isn't one that's probably said a whole lot, but especially when they're good, like Illinois is tough to play in. Because a lot of those fans are like right there on the floor, and the Orange Crush is like right there. So I think I might have even made two trips to Illinois, and I think we got beat at least one of them. And I just remember their student section was like, maybe we didn't. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but like their student section was like right behind us. And I just remember thinking like, man, I'm trying to do my job. Like, you got to get out of my ear. Like they're chirping at us. And I'm just like, you know, and that locker room at Illinois is like, you know, this big, like it's so tiny.
Yes.
And it was just like a disaster because you got all your stuff and you're trying to get situated and everyone's in this just like little room, at least until they renovated it. So Illinois was tough to go in and like just like kind of manage and play. And they usually have a good crowd there too. So
100%. Illinois is one of the harder arenas. You're right. They don't get mentioned as much because I think Paint got ejected at Illinois my freshman year for Sandy. Like, we were getting beat.
And yeah.
Like, Sandy got fouled. It was one of those where, like, we were going to lose regardless. Like, we were watching them throw lobs on us. I still remember looking at Ronnie Johnson, and he looked at me, and we're like, but then Paint lost it at the end. And then I think that'll have been your senior year, my junior year, Dakota and Kendall. Kendrick Nunn, like it's a thing where like now Kendrick Nunn is in the NBA and I'm like happy for him. Cause like, yeah. Like I think it was coming out of the second half, he just went on like a 10-point just run by himself. And is that, then I don't think we won at Illinois. So you're right.
But, I don't think we did.
Outside of the basketball team, you at Purdue, you were there even after your 4 years with the basketball team.
Yeah.
What about Purdue makes you such a proud alum at this point? Because like you said, you bleed black and gold.
Yeah.
Basketball or not. What about Purdue? What about the campus, the university? What makes it mean so much to you?
Well, I mean, I think so the basketball team, you know, exemplified it, but so did like I'm a pharmacist. So the College of Pharmacy School is where I guess went to school at. And I mean, it's that collective like family feel, like look out for your own kind of thing. Like once you're a Boilermaker, you're a Boilermaker for life. I mean, and that holds true for even the like the academic side, I hope, for most people, because I know for it does for the pharmacy school for me. I originally, not to get too much off, but like the pharmacy, so I had to do a residency after I was done, and I had to go through two rounds of it. So the first round I didn't even match. But like I had, you know, interviews within days because the Purdue alum network was like working to figure out, okay, what's Brock's next step, and helping me even when I was kind of like, man, I didn't expect that. Like I thought I was going to get a job out of that. So it was a humbling experience. There's just a ton of great qualified pharmacy students, but I think just that kind of that network and that alumni and that pride that, you know, I would say almost every alum has for the university, I think is what's cool and what kind of endears you to it even after you're done.
Now, of course, Brock, like me, because like you said, pharmacy student, being able to have those experiences with the basketball team is kind of like having the best of both worlds. I mean,
oh yeah,
and too, being able to experience Purdue. Not a lot of people. I appreciate this. Not a lot of people, even at this point, have even remember Purdue when they were bad. Like I feel like you have a greater appreciation when you were there when we were like quote Welsh, like we were like Lord.
Yeah.
Like people here in the locker room sometimes.
Yeah.
Like you like that was your junior year. So your junior year, we're bottom in the Big Ten. Next you know, your senior year, we come out of that. And I just think that now that obviously, like when you said 8 years ago, that blew my mind. Like when you look back on it, five, six, seven, 8 years ago, the work that we put in there and kind of what's coming out now, even the managers now, I mean,
yeah,
they're coming off of what you guys put in. I mean, like the U's, the Cody's, the Cowens. I mean, you guys laid a blueprint that, because for me, you guys made everything easier. Like, I always told our guys, like, even like, obviously, look at you guys now. You guys are also successful. I always told our guys, like, yo, you want to be their friend. Like, look, like what you said earlier, like, something that stuck with me, what you said, like, someone told you, yo, you may not get the outcome you want to get, but you can still do it. Just because out of the love, you still did it. It's just the person you are. So when I reach out to one of you guys, and I was a guy at this point, too, I wasn't even playing. So it's like, you guys could have been like, no, I'm not going to rebound for Ray. He's not even getting in the game.
Yeah.
He's not even shooting jump shots. So it's like, we were trying it for no reason, but you guys would come in and spend hours and hours and hours. And he, like, I mean, before games, after games, it wouldn't matter, before practice, after practice. So it's like one of those things where my appreciation always ran deep. And I feel like the players on the floor aren't to their maximum potential without the managers behind the scene doing everything they're doing.
I appreciate that. No, that means a lot.
Responsibility. Yeah, I would say, so one of the, I don't want to go on and on about it, because I would say, I mean, there will be times where I needed a rebound at 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't want to leave Mackie till like 12:30 in the morning. So, like, I mean, people see me on Twitter now. I was that way. So it's like.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like one of the things where I don't think I get to where I am if I don't have someone there with me that will go rebound and just kick the ball out, maybe not even say a word to me for an hour. And just sit. Kind of like you said, do your job, kind of be on her, be seen. But it's one of the things, like, I remember Jordan and Andre spending a lot of time, but no, bro, because I mean, I knew you before Purdue. So I kind of knew, kind of, especially through Nick and whatnot, but kind of to see where you were and where I was then, and kind of see what you're doing now with your family, man. Long story short, I'm super proud of it, man.
I appreciate that, man.
What you're doing.
No, I appreciate that. And I mean, I think that's even when you come in as a manager, you have to have that mindset, right? So my sophomore year, like we, you know, you could say we're kind of dipping CBI, that kind of thing. And then, so like, I remember like your guys' freshman class, like I remember rebounding like late at night for AJ, for you, for Ronnie, like, you know, people were hitting me up like, hey, can you come rebound for me? And it's like, you know, AJ texted me at like 11:30 on a Wednesday. It's like, man, why aren't you sleeping? Like, okay, but let's go rebound. Like, if you want to get shots up, like, I'm not going to say no.
Right, right.
Because you hope that by the end of this, like, you know, obviously your class was young at the time, right? Like, we're going to get something out of this, hopefully. And I would have done it for the seniors too. But exactly. it's kind of cool to see that. And I was really hoping we'd be good my senior year. Like, right, we had some dark years there. So I was really hoping the light's starting to shine. And it did. And I think you see that hard work pay off. And you got to set that example for, like, the managers that are even coming behind you. Because to your credit, I think we – I appreciate you saying that, because I think we had some really good manager classes after that.
Was that your senior year? I don't think your senior year was Cooper's freshman year.
No, my freshman year was.
It was Cooper's freshman year.
Okay.
Do you remember freshman manager your senior year?
Yeah, it was Joe Rowe and Joe Rokiel.
Yep.
Then let's see, who would have Joe Rowe been with? Tim Ford.
Yep.
So Tim and Joe. And I think that's another thing people don't know is, like, these manager classes, at least when I started, they're like 4 or 5 deep. Like, we have a staff of like 12 to 15 managers. So each class is like 4 or 5 to start. And then, as you know, it's a time commitment. So as the years go on, people kind of drop off. And we usually end up graduating with, you know, I'm going to say 2 to 4, like, head senior managers, I would say, who have been there 3 or 4 years.
I was like, even with a Joe Rowe, like, you guys had, like, guys that I always say I would help raise Grady, because he was my freshman. So, like, you raise a good class of managers that help guys after. So, I mean, I think that what you guys done and what we did together, I mean, I think it helped kind of bring Purdue basketball back. And it's one of those things where, to me, everybody a part of the program needs the same credit. You know what
I mean?
So, it's like, if you were a part of building the ship, we all built the ship. So I always wanted to shine a light on what you guys did and on the experience, because like you said, if you love the game and you want to be a part of a team, you can come be a manager and still be a part of the game and have a great experience, but also still get a great education and become a pharmacist, obviously, and take care of your family, whatnot. But yeah, I can go on and on about it, Brock. But no, I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I like Bloom said that to us, I remember, on our senior day. So, you know, the managers get called out. We got called out with John, Octias, and Neil. And like Bloom, I remember him specifically. And this just speaks to the culture, but like came to us four. We were taking a photo and he was like, hey, like, you know, you guys really kind of helped set the tone for the next couple of years. Like, I'm glad we had some success this year for you guys because you guys have put in the work. And just like him coming over to, and you know, Bloom, but like for him to come over and say that, like, that meant a lot to me, at least, to know that work was. So.
Yeah, Bloom, I mean, no, for Bloom to come over, and Bloom is one of the hardest people I know. For him to come over and give you a compliment, I mean, especially because Bloom not going, I mean, he's not going to blow you no smoke.
So nope.
To say that to you, like, it definitely, I mean, because you guys had a solid group. I mean, you had a really solid, just a solid group of managers. And for you guys to stick together, you guys were on the same page at all times. You guys always had your inside communication going on. It just was a team amongst a team. And it's one of the things where I got another question too I just thought of, but every high-performing team needs a strong set of managers, you know what I mean? That's just going to do the work that nobody else wants to. And then, Brock, my last question for you. Who's the best manager team in the Big Ten?
So, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked this question.
A lot of people don't know. A lot of people do know. Because it's been getting really big, especially over the last few years too. But the managers play. I didn't know this coming into college. The managers play the night before the game.
Yep.
So they play the opposing team. It's managers. Yep. So who's the best set of managers that you've faced or seen or heard about?
So that's a great question. So Leah and I are going to take credit for everything everyone sees about these manager games. It started at Purdue, and I'm going to tell you why. So my junior year, there was an app I don't really use anymore, but called GroupMe. You can do group chats, right? So our junior year, between Leah and I, you know, we kind of get sprinkled in those road trips. And by people coming to Mackey, we start collecting phone numbers of Big Ten managers, like other juniors who are going to be seniors. So Leah and I, at the end of junior year, had this list of, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 phone numbers, all from the different schools. So we throw everyone in a group on GroupMe, and we're just like, hey, we're going to formalize this. Like, this is a group chat. If you're playing if you're the home team, you know, text the away team and invite them to play if you can, if gym's available. In my senior year, myself and Joe Baker started doing standings. Like, we kept standings for the Big Ten. And this was before any of, you know, the Twitter stuff. So we had this GroupMe, and we would post these standings every year. Or every week, I mean. And you got points if you won on the road, if you won at home. That's and then I think someone from Michigan State, one of their, like, office people caught wind of it. And then I'm going to say that they stole the idea from us. And then they took it and ran with it and started all the Twitter stuff and the rankings. Because it started in the Big Ten, all of that. And it really started with Leah and I starting this group chat and doing our own standings. But anyways, so – it's tough because with the manager teams, when you travel, you don't travel with five managers, right? You travel with two, maybe three. So when someone's trying to play, you're trying to recruit other people, right? Like, which assistant coach, or maybe not assistant coach, but like, which strength coach, which grad assistant are they going to bring? So that was actually really cool because, like, one of the coolest guys I was able to play against was when Maryland visited us, Juan Dixon came. He was on the coaching staff, so we got to play, like, a number one draft pick, right? I got to, like, try to D him up. So that was a lot of fun. We lost, and I think, I don't know Juan Dixon, you know, from Joe, but he tried to shoot every shot, I'll tell you that. So they were winning or losing with him, and we hung pretty tight, but at some point he is just going to give in, so. But we got to play cool players like that. Like, IU, when they came, it was real cool because the paint crew was camping out. So, like, they let the paint crew come into Mackey and watch our game. So we got to play in front of, like, you know, 200 people against IU. Now, once again, they had two managers.
That's what's and, up.
Yeah, it was really cool. And, like, we know how to turn on the scoreboards and stuff. So we, like, kept the score on the scoreboard and did all of that. But I want
to know that, man. That's super cool.
Yeah, it's neat. It was really cool. I mean, so, like, and I know IU, like, I think they brought 7 or 8 guys, but, like, 2 of them were managers. And, like, 5 were, like, strength coaches, grad assistants. And I don't know if the managers really saw the floor a whole lot. So I was like, I don't know if this is really fair. So it all just depends on who you get. To go back to Iowa, I really appreciate them because they actually travel pretty strong as far as managers go. So it was always like a fair, like, you know, 21, 22-year-olds going at each other, not 30-year-old grown men trying to bully you. But it was really cool because, I mean, and that's one of the perks. I mean, they knew that we played in, you know, in Mackey, but as long as we took care of business, you know, we were respectful, we cleaned up, that kind of thing, it was never an issue. So I got to see some really cool locker rooms. West Virginia, when I went there, they had just redone their stuff. We didn't get to go into Coach Huggins' office, but we were told what it was like. I guess he's got quite the setup in his office. That's just stuff you don't get to see. Yeah. And especially when it's like, you know, the night before a game, like there's no one in there. Like you can really get the full tour of like those really cool arenas and those basketball gyms though.
So. Oh, that's super cool, man. It's just a lot of stuff that just like behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff that like as a player, you don't know, as a fan, you don't know. But I mean, it's just super cool, man. I'm glad that I learned a lot tonight, honestly. I got to learn a lot because the interview process to the manager games, just a lot of different cool stuff that you could really just be a part of. I mean, when you're part of a program. So, I mean, anybody out there that's, that loves the game and maybe you don't see yourself continuing on as a player, or maybe you want to get into coaching, or maybe you want to get into an executive position in basketball, maybe being going a managerial route for college program is the way for you. And I mean, hearing Brock's experience, it sounds like a great experience, but I mean, it made me even forget to do everything I was supposed to do, man. I mean, if you're out there too, you look for a basketball camp, we have 2 basketball camps coming up, 104 Wayne, Indiana, June 7th to 10th. Then also we're headed to West Lafayette again, June 21st to 24th at Harrison High School. Both camps are on RayfieldDavisBasketball.com. Make sure you check that out. I want to give a big thank you to AJ's Burgers. To me, best burger spot on campus. Brock, what do you think about AJ's?
Pretty good, man. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Hard to be. I like AJ's. And also give a shout out to BioWorm Automotive Group. I appreciate you guys for helping sponsor this podcast. Brock, thanks again, man. Thanks for everything you've done for Purdue, for me, even for me, for my family, for what you've done to help Purdue win. What you're doing now in the community, helping patients every day. I mean, it's big time stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Ray. It means a lot. It really does.
Oh, no, thank you. And now for everybody out there, make sure you check us out, RayfieldDavisBasketball.com, Crew Life Incorporated Nonprofit Foundation. Until next time, brother up at Rayfield Davis. Brother up.